eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm Billy Embody. With me, Shay Dixon, on a really ugly Monday in Baton Rouge. But you know what? That's okay, because it was an unreal night in Tiger Stadium on Saturday night as LSU took down Florida 42-28. Another top 10 win for the Tigers. And plenty of buzz about this team coming out of that one. Shay, you were there. That atmosphere just looked incredible. It lived up to the billing. What were your takeaways from this weekend's just incredible football game?
Yeah, well, the atmosphere was definitely unbelievable. The Gator chomp in the fourth quarter when LSU was up by seven and trying to put the game away and come up with defensive stops and obviously the Burrow to chase with 5+ minutes to go sort of helped him seal it. But Orgeron, talk about, it was not just a student section. It was a lot of people doing the Gator chomp in unison right at Florida in sort of the biggest moment of the game. And Orgeron said, look, I looked around the sideline and the team was jacked. All of them were looking up in the stands. And he said it's those kind of moments that shift things. He called the crowd one of the MVPs. And so often you talk about Tiger Stadium at night, and there'll only be a handful of games a year where they play, half of them at home, and then half of those are even at night. And for them to deliver on, one of the biggest SEC games at 7 p.m., that kind of atmosphere was, it's the best we'll see all season. I don't think it'll be matched again with this LSU team and with kind of the remaining home schedule is. So if you were there, you'll remember it for a while. It was loud, and I packed all the way to the brim. And I'll tell you, and we'll touch on this more later in the week, but we've talked to a lot of recruits, and Ed Orgeron said the same, that parents told him when they left on Saturday and again on Sunday that they had never seen, an environment like that, and they could see very, easily why their kid would want to play there.
Yeah, like Shay alluded to, we're going to dive into more of the recruiting side of things later in the week. But touching on this game, I think it was the perfect game for Joe Burrow to kind of cement what legacy he's building so far this season. He was calm, cool, collected, really no matter the situation. I felt like, look, LSU's defense had a really rough first half, and then they kind of buckled in and settled down after that opening drive in the second half when Florida went up 28-21. But the one constant was Joe Burrow throughout the night. He was almost perfect. He had three incompletions. I think one of them was a drop. Just continued to build this Heisman Trophy candidacy, and he was the SEC Player of the Week because of it, and he's moved up in the Heisman Trophy odds after his latest performance, continuing to kind of chip away at that lead that Tua Tagovailoa has on the Heisman Trophy right now, at least in the odds. Shay, this for me, this is just the continued kind of checking the boxes for Joe Burrow as they go through this season. And as people start to kind of creep in with doubts about this offense, like early in the week, last week, people were talking about the pass rush and how is LSU going to handle it? Well, Joe Burrow ran a little bit more than he has this season for the most part. He was quicker in his decision-making, and that led to another 40-plus point performance for this offense.
Yeah, it's nine straight games of 40 or more points dating back to, mid-November in 2018. So it's been unbelievable to witness that. And you talk about Saturday night, the O-line played the best they have all year, and not that they've been steadily improving, and they weren't really at a, you know, a terrible mark ever. So that's becoming one of the strengths of the offense, even though, you know, we're caught up in the points. And I don't mean just you and I, but everybody out there, you know, Burrow and everybody else, the running Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the young backs at running back, and obviously the receivers and Thaddeus Moss, guys like that. But the jump that Deculus and Charles has made has been really impressive from last year to this year. They're playing well on the interior. Cushenberry at center. Knows all the calls for you. He's going to get the job done every week. He'll never let you down from that spot. So Joe Burrow, after every game, says, look, get a shout out to my O-line, and then obviously not far behind. They're catching it at an unbelievable rate. Yards after catch for guys like Jefferson and Chase has been nuts. I mean, you can throw it 10 yards down the field, and they get the rest done for you. Thaddeus Moss has probably played back-to-back of two of his best games since being at LSU. You can see his confidence rising, considering he hadn't played, hadn't been on the field for a couple of years since coming over from NC State, a few years as a transfer. But it all circles back around to Burrow. I mean, you can have all that and still have a quarterback who can't, get the job done for you, doesn't know where to put the ball, holds it too long, whatever it might be. And he's in such a rhythm. I mean, 3 touchdowns and 3 incompletions in this one. As you said, picked up some big plays with his feet, but it's just been – it's been nuts to watch. I mean, given that he's now sitting right at 80% passing on the year, that he's won 4 SEC Player of the Week, Offensive Player of the Week honors, Billy, in what, 6 games? So only twice did he not get the award. And even then, he was probably in the running for it in those games. So it's special. I would tell folks to just enjoy it because, I mean, he's played his way from not just a 250-1 Heisman odd guy to right there at the very top, but also into a draft pick, and not just a draft pick, but a really high one probably. I mean, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the country, no doubt. And I think people will see that translates to the next level. So these next 6 games of the regular season, I have no real reason to believe he won't keep doing what he's doing. LSU is going to score points on everyone they play, including Alabama. And, you know, I think the times of them getting completely shut out by Bama are done now. That they will not — I'd be floored, obviously, if they shut out this offense. But it's tough to even explain. He's just on fire, and you can tell he's in his zone. And I think for a quarterback, when you get rid of all that, you know, everything that runs through your mind, and so naturally now, he knows what he wants to do. And from the time kind of he thinks it to when it leaves his fingertips, it seems to be so quick and flawless. And I know that everybody's impressed. I'm just anxious, or I should more say so, curious to see, not really this weekend against Mississippi State, who's completely overmatched, but another big home game against Auburn and then that monstrous game on the road against Bama. I feel like we're going to see a pretty dialed in Joe Burrow, because we knew this, Billy. How much last week did he talk about candidly, very openly, without even getting asked? Last year at Florida, I think about it all the time. You know, I threw 2 picks, including a pick 6, for us to lose the game. So he came back this, you know, this go around 2019, and he was dialed in and got him the kill shot there at the end with Chase, and another well-deserved Player of the Week honor for a guy who's turned into a pretty special quarterback, shattering records at a pretty rapid pace here for LSU.
Yeah, it's really cool to just be covering what we are right now, which is just this complete historic change of what LSU has been for so many years. And you know, not to take, we could take a whole podcast and talk about Joe Burrow, and I'm sure we will at some point, because we're going to have to. But it's really special. I think. I mean, anytime you get to cover something that changes kind of history, and now again, like you said, I would be floored if Alabama were to shut out this offense, but we've got to see it for it to kind of be validated still in a weird way. But it's historic, and. Yeah, I think no matter, in a way, what happens in Tuscaloosa, this offense has certainly changed the narrative on LSU. They've just got to show it against Alabama this year and see how things go there. But they've got Mississippi State this week. They've got Auburn next week after that. And then they've got their bye, and then Alabama. And by the end of that 3-game stretch, we'll certainly know, I think, everything we need to about this offense. And Auburn's got a really good defense as well. And Alabama's just kind of had LSU's number, but another week coming up for LSU to kind of exercise some demons with the trip to Mississippi State. But But still staying on the Florida game, I want to touch on Derek Stingley, who got picked on at times last week against Florida. They threw back shoulder against him. They really went at him. I will say one thing about Derek is that he does a really good job of not allowing yards after the catch. If somebody does, you know, catch a ball on him, it's a quick tackle. He kind of locks people down. But when the game was in the balance and Florida was driving and LSU needed to play in a big, big way from this defense, Derek Stingley made one in the end zone, picked off Kyle Trask. And for that reason, he was named the SEC Freshman of the Week. I gave LSU two players recognized by the conference. Derek Stingley didn't have his best night, but when LSU needed him the most, he had a just huge, massive play, which is what we've come to expect from him at this point.
Yeah, man, three straight games with an interception in each game. Obviously, the Florida one was huge in the fourth quarter. And then look, I mean, look across the SEC at how talented, and there's a bunch of them. Bama has talented corners. I don't even have to go down the list. I mean, there's 10 guys, if not more, that are going to be playing NFL, you know, ball on Sundays across this league, starting or playing in defensive backfields right now. And Stingley leads the SEC in passes broken up, leads the SEC in passes defended. And like I said, now that he has three picks in these three games, he's second in the SEC in interceptions. And he's 18 years old and has played six games of college football. So, and two of them in huge games, Texas being maybe one of the best games he's played yet, whenever he had to kind of lock up with a number of different really talented Texas receivers and played lights out. So I think, I mean, he's been phenomenal. He was the highest ranked corner in the history of 24/7 for a reason. We knew he was special. I just think the ability for him to come in and show it like this. And like you said, he got picked on and they were going back shoulder on him in that game really early and often. But as Orgeron said, the mark of a good young player is that you can beat him up like that. But, you know, at some point in the game, he's going to make some, you know, make you pay for something. And that's exactly what happened at the end when he picked off Kyle Trask in the end zone.
Yeah, so a great honor for Derek Stingley, but he wasn't the only player that really made a difference on that LSU defense. And as much grief as they got in the first half and the way Florida moved the ball during that half and then to open the second half, that defensive line really stepped up. They forced a lot of pressures. I think at the end they were the difference. And when they got in third downs and after that holding penalty that set them back first and 20, that was kind of the difference in the ball game. That was it. That Florida needed a perfect game offensively to beat LSU, and they were kind of having it up until that point. And then they get the first and 20, and things kind of fell apart from there, and LSU holds them scoreless the rest of the game. I think a huge credit goes to the defensive line. Ed Ogeron really highlighted Justin Thomas, Glenn Logan, and certainly Neil Farrell as well. But I thought a former five-star, and two of them really, Kalevon Chasson had a really strong game, and then Marcel Brooks with a couple key plays for LSU down the stretch. I mean, that pass rush needed to step up. They did, and that was kind of the difference.
No doubt. And I thought that you summed it up well. Look, people have knocked on Chasson, and even if you just look at the stats, he's not always going to jump out to you. He's in a way like Grant Delpit. Teams try to find a way to avoid him, or if we can get two guys on him. And obviously that frees up room for other guys to make plays. And I'm with you. Ed Orgeron said he thinks they got Glenn Logan and Rashard Lawrence back, but he said when Logan's healthy and when we've seen him out there, he might be the best defensive lineman they have right now. I could spend the whole podcast talking about Tyler Shelvin, someone who I wasn't sure would ever really turn that corner. And it was not a knock on anything, but he was overweight coming in. He was trying to lose it. And really his conditioning was called into question because of it. And now he looks, I mean, he, as I say each week, he outlasts everybody. There's DBs trying to come off the field before he is. His push, ability to kind of change the line of scrimmage and get guys into the backfield has been really impressive. But shout out, I mean, two guys deserve a shout out here. Neil Farrell, and again, maybe three, but Neil Farrell and Justin Thomas for sure. And Braden Fajoco has also played well for him. But Braden's a fifth-year senior. We knew last year what Braden Fajoco could do for you. There was questions as to would Neil Farrell really turn the corner and become a guy, and would Justin Thomas ever play? And Justin Thomas was playing inside, outside, on the line for him this past weekend, getting a big push on the center on a handful of plays. Ed Orgeron said that when Bill Johnson got here as D-line coach, he quickly saw something in Justin Thomas in practices and said, this guy needs to be playing more. And because of injuries, he got his chance and he's proven it. And Farrell's in the same boat. And Orgeron said it a few times. He said it again on Monday. But because of injuries, we've had to rely on Neil Farrell. And now we kind of hate to take Neil Farrell off the field. And as he said, I kind of consider him and Glenn Logan and Rashard to all be sort of co-starters at this point as defensive ends, because all of them have played so well. And certainly, you know what you get from Rashard when he's healthy. So, yes, I think the D-line has been a major difference. And you mentioned Marcel Brooks, who you put him in that cheetah package, but don't play him at safety anymore. And Orgeron said he's back as a linebacker. He's an edge rusher now. But when you can bring him on off the edge, or, you know, he stunts inside or whatever it might be, he just gets there so quick. And we knew that from high school, right? I mean, anybody who watched his film last year said, this dude rushing the quarterback's a terror. It's the reason he was a five-star. And it paid off for him this weekend. And Billy, he debuted his new sack dance. So if he gets some more sacks, maybe he gets to continue dancing.
Yeah, and you said it well there at the end. When I went and saw Marcel play as a senior and watched Garrett Nussmeier earlier in his high school career, Marcel coming off the edge was he's just such a disruptive player. And look, I mean, he's long, he's athletic. As Ed Orgeron says, he's about 200 pounds, so he's got to put on some weight, which I think he will as he just matures as a young man. But that him coming off the edge, and we saw it in the Army All-American Bowl or the All-American Bowl last year when he was a high school senior. He led the game in tackles. He was in the backfield the entire night, and he plays at such a fast pace that, look, how can LSU not just put him in there at defensive end and just say, okay, somebody's going to stunt and you're going to just come right off their butt and you're going to come right in the A gap and fly in there. And that's what he did. And it's paid off in a huge way. And so he's earned himself much more playing time. Same with Tyler Shelvin. Like you said, he's outlasted everyone. It was nice to see Apuaika get in there at times against Florida. I think that's something to watch going forward. Can they rely on him to take maybe 10, 12 snaps away from Tyler Shelvin at certain points? That would be key, just to even allow him to continue to play at a high level. So, look, this defensive line is getting healthy. They've been productive, and I think it's just a whole big positive note from that game that they were so dominant. But, look, there's a lot more to get to from this Monday, as we learned the start time for one of LSU's big marquee matchups later in the season. TV time for that. LSU moved up in the polls. And Ed Orgeron met with the media on Monday. We're going to talk a lot more about that after this quick break from the Go 24/7 podcast.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. Look, guys, when we're busy throughout the week getting you guys interviews, Shay and I are recording this in between practice and player interviews, there's a lot going on. So throw us a bone, subscribe to the Go 24/7 podcast, leave us a rating, leave us a review, let us know how we're doing. If you want to hear something, leave us a review and let us know. So quick reminder to do that for us. We appreciate you guys listening and reviewing us as well. Shay, LSU, after this weekend, they really earned yet another jump in the polls. And depending on who you ask, and for example, ESPN in their power rankings has LSU at number one in the country. But in the AP poll, they jump Clemson. They move all the way up to number two with Georgia losing. look, this is a team that is now teed up for a 1-2 matchup in Tuscaloosa in a couple of weeks. What'd you make of the new polls coming out? And is LSU the number one team in the country?
Well, I should interject, too, because I know he's going to be listening to this. I had a lot of people tell me at the game and while I was out and about over the weekend that they've really enjoyed the pod, which was nice to know because, like you said, we take time each week. We do a few of them. They're fun, and I'm glad people are listening. And I told him I'd give him a shout-out for listening. I don't want to completely spoil who it is, but his son plays receiver, and he wears number one and is not Justin Jefferson. So shout-out to one of the pops who's been around the board forever with us, obviously. But we did get that review, Billy. We got a positive thumbs up from a listener whose son also obviously plays on the team.
Well, that's the only review that matters. If anybody doesn't want to review us anymore, that's okay, because we got one of the most important ones out there already down.
That's right. I'm with you with the poll and thinking LSU is scoring more points a game. Their receivers and Chase and Jefferson and Marshall's out, or he'd probably be keeping this pace, are number one and two in the SEC. Joe Burrow's arguably the best quarterback playing right now in the country. Him and Tua probably is what everybody would go to. And we've seen this defense come around. So I think they're deserving of a top two spot. I don't really care about this whole, like, well, polls should be this year and not last year. It's not like Bama's playing bad right now. And as you said, they've had LSU's number. I don't think that's really factored into it as much as the reality that the last few years they've been really good and they've got a lot of returning pieces on offense that came into this year. I thought that they should have been number one to start. I don't really think that Clemson is as good as they were a year ago. I think that's been proven to be the case. And Ohio State, Oklahoma, you know, those schools are obviously legit. You put those three, four teams together, and they are the best offenses in the country right now. So I could see it being anywhere from one to four, but with how LSU's played, they should be one. And if not, then the bottom would be two. So I thought it's a round of applause there for the pollsters, even though the AP doesn't ultimately matter. It'll be the college football playoff polls that come out in a few weeks that everybody looks to for the final four teams. But I don't know about you, Billy, but I mean, they're right now for me, LSU is either the best team in the country or the second best team in the country. And I don't think it really matters because, in my opinion, the two teams who are the best two teams are going to play each other in 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whenever it is.
I thought it was interesting that the pollsters decided to go ahead and move LSU up all the way to number two in the AP after this game, when Clemson was running out the backups, I think like 5 minutes into the third quarter this past weekend. So in a weekend that Clemson was dominant against, you know, not anyone impressive, but this was kind of one of those weekends where nobody...
Florida State sucks.
Yeah, that's right. I couldn't even remember it, and it was Florida State. Ouch. I thought it was interesting that they did move LSU all the way up to number two, but I think it is well deserved. And like you listed off the reasons why, I think that the two best teams in the country in terms of resume, in terms of how they're playing, I think are LSU and Alabama. And a lot of people will point to Ohio State. I saw a couple people out there that have Ohio State as number one as well. And I'm still in the camp that I don't think Ohio State's played anybody. We saw Minnesota crush Nebraska over the weekend. So I think that gave that even more credence over that College Game Day destination earlier in the year in Lincoln when Ohio State killed them. I just don't think they've proven against the top team yet that they're legit. So I want to see that before having them up high in that 1-2 type of range for me. But it'll be fun when LSU and Alabama get together in a few weeks to really settle that conversation. And look, to have it as a 1-2 matchup just makes it all the more impressive and just kind of special to be a part of. We'll be there for that one, I have a feeling. And so this kind of tees up really well. And look, one thing I am surprised about is the CBS choice for this week's game, Shay. They did the 6-day window, and they opted for LSU and Mississippi State to be at 2:30 on CBS. And did you see any of the backlash from the Mississippi State fans on Twitter about this?
Oh yeah, they were not happy. They were, you hate it even for Joe Moorhead. They tweeted out, the school did, that they had gotten picked for the 2:30 game. I saw people, Mississippi State fans, obviously they just lost to Tennessee, who, you know, has played pretty bad at points this year. They've been playing merry-go-round at quarterback now, and the State fans were asking if it could be on PBS, if it could be shown, you know, at 8 in the morning. And then a lot of them tagging Moorhead, telling him, unfortunately, this weekend, everybody's about to get to see what's been going on in Starkville. So, yes, it is the 2:30 game. Obviously, usually one of the more watched games of the week, being nationally televised on CBS. And what, right now, LSU, I think Monday morning when we checked, it was like 19-point favorites, and maybe they started out at like 18. And we'll see if that creeps up or kind of steadies out. I wouldn't imagine it drops very much, but I did see that, you know, look, three touchdown favorites on the road, even this past weekend, 14 points to a Florida defense that came into the game, what, averaging or giving up less than 10 points a game. They still covered that. And with LSU's defense kind of playing really well again, and at least in spots, obviously, it can be kind of hot and cold for them. But I think going to Starkville, there'll be guys on this team who remember what it was like to go up there and get beat by 30, you know, on a time where Orgeron said today, just didn't have him prepared, didn't have him prepared for the crowd noise. They were down on D-linemen. Farrell and a couple of guys, Farrell got kicked out of that game. Justin Thomas didn't even travel. They had some guys hurt who ended up not playing. So I think they're going up there with a little revenge on their mind and with the offense playing as well as it has. I know that Burrow and Chase and these guys will be kind of fresh faces to that game in Starkville, but you'd have to think that they'll just continue along, and it won't surprise me at all if LSU wins by 20-something points, if not more.
Yeah. I think this game is, you know, it is a trap game, you know, sandwiched between an emotional win and now another 2:30 game that was announced on Monday, LSU Auburn in Tiger Stadium on October 26th. So we'll have that to look forward to as well, much to the dismay of some LSU fans. But that one was kind of destined for 2:30 with that weekend slate. So LSU Auburn at 2:30 in Tiger Stadium on CBS. But, yeah, I think this coming weekend we'll talk a lot more about it. LSU has a chance offensively. And at this point, why would you bother even thinking that they're not going to put up a ton of points? And that's kind of the biggest thing for me. And I think that's why it's an easy cover once again. I know last week wasn't an easy cover for LSU, but they did do it and held on to that cover over the Gators. But, yeah, I just think the way this offense is rolling, LSU's going to roll over Mississippi State as well. And here's the big key, though, for them. And Ed Ogeron mentioned it. He said, look, we were not ready for that hornet's nest in Starkville, the cowbells, he even shouted out, like, the music they were playing, just kind of how it, frankly, rattled that team. And that was a team with a senior quarterback in Danny Etling. And while they had a lot of injuries defensively, they were just out of whack in that football game and didn't ever get off the mat after that, those early scores by Mississippi State.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think, and like you said, we'll dive into our game predictions and all that on Friday, but this State team is not what that State team was. That State team actually had a bunch of dudes who ended up playing, going to the NFL over the past couple of seasons. And as I mentioned, they've been trying to figure out their quarterback situation. Tommy Stevens, who, you know, came down from Penn State, to be with Moorhead, has not played well at all. They've been trying to feel out what Garrett Schrader can do. And I think it's one of those things where they're going to need a real spark early to feel like they can even stick in this one. And if LSU plays like they did, I guess, you know, Vanderbilt's the only other SEC road game right now. But if you go on the road and you're putting up some points early and you're not playing a team like Texas, you're not playing in Starkville will be rowdy, but that Texas game had an environment to it because they don't play each year. They don't really play ever. So it was packed to the brim. Texas wanted that game and just couldn't keep pace with LSU. And that was in week two. It's a lot different than playing LSU in week eight when they've got things figured out. Are we in week seven? I guess this would be eight with the bye week. So a lot different now than it was even then on the road in Texas and even Vanderbilt. So I think the defense has things figured out, and at least against a team like State, it's going to be it'll take a Herculean effort from the Bulldogs, and it would be a way bigger upset even than South Carolina beating Georgia, in my opinion. I mean, this LSU team just can score points at will And I don't think that Mississippi State's going to be able to keep that kind of pace. Obviously, anybody would be shocked if that happens. So this is another chance for LSU to get better. Look, go up there, put a bunch of points on the board, actually play well on defense consistently across 60 minutes, and I think you leave that week probably feeling really good about yourself coming back home for what then becomes two matchups against two Alabama teams and Auburn and Bama across a three-week stretch with that bye sandwiched in between.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be fun to watch and see kind of how these next couple weeks go before the lead up to the LSU-Alabama game, which will be unbelievable for both teams to go through once again as 1-2 teams in the country if they can both hold on through these next 2 weeks. Shay, I think we covered plenty of ground today. Tons more to come on the podcast this week. Tons more to come on Go 24/7. We do have a promo going on right now for new subscribers only. Sign up for an annual subscription and get 60% off that subscription for you guys. $42 for the year, couple coffees a month if you want to break it out like that. So pay attention to that. For our current subscribers, we got you covered. We got some things coming in the pipeline to make your subscription even more valuable. And we appreciate all you guys who subscribe to Go247.com as well as the podcast. So appreciate you guys listening. We've got plenty more to come throughout the week on the podcast, so keep it locked on Go 24/7. The latest on LSU as the Tigers prepare for Mississippi State this Saturday, 2:30 in Starkville. Have a great rest of the week, everyone.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.